Russ Kazmierczak Jr. grew up in Arizona and has been drawing comics since 2001. When he moved back here from California last year, he wondered what he would draw about.
A Valley cartoonist hopes to impress people with his comic books based on Arizona politics.
Amazing Arizona Comics. Created by Russ Kazmierczak, based on the headlines.
That's pretty.
Hey, everybody, you are listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. My name is Russ, and thank you for clicking play or for downloading this podcast. I really appreciate it. I'm the creator of Amazing Arizona Comics, the mini-comic that satirizes Arizona news, history, and culture with superhero adventure. And I'm the host of Phoenix Tonight, the Valley's live local late-night talk show, filming before a live studio audience monthly at Space 55 in downtown Phoenix. This podcast is coming at you the last week of September 2016, and I'm thinking about what happened the previous week in and around Amazing Arizona Comics. You know, I'm a writer, artist, poet, stand-up comedian, performer, general man about town, and as such, I end up doing a lot of crazy things. Last week, for example, I participated in my first comedy festival up in Flagstaff, reading humorous poetry at a coffee shop. Doesn't that sound a little hipster and pretentious? And I also hosted the latest episode of Phoenix Tonight. This is last Saturday, September 17th, I think it was. And I got to tell you, that was a great time. My sidekick, Marty, has taken a hiatus from the show. He may not return. He's spinning a lot of plates, my dear friend Marty, going to school, working full-time, buying a new house, and of course, when he gets around to it, self-publishing some of the best zines you've ever seen as the Federal Bureaucratic Commission. So if you could find his stuff online, I highly recommend it. I say all that simply to note that the last episode of Phoenix Tonight was stripped down. I decided to keep things as simple as possible without Marty's assistance. Of course, my good friend Glenn was still behind the camera recording the whole thing, and you could see clips of the episode on YouTube right now. Just search for Phoenix Tonight. But I performed my usual monologue. Ashley Naftool, one of the proprietors there at Space 55 and also a good friend, agreed to do a little comedy sketch with me as Clifford Notes, movie critic, a character that he's portrayed before. And then I had three fantastic local guests. I had Mike Gillerman, a local stand-up comic. Margot Brookover, a player for First Friday Night Live, Phoenix's version of Saturday Night Live that happens every, you guessed it, First Friday. And Robin Nash, DJ from Hot 97.5 and 103.9 FM. And she was fantastic as a guest. In fact, it was such a great conversation we had, I thought I'd share a part of it with you here on Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. So you're about to hear a segment from Phoenix Tonight. The audio has been ripped from the video, but if you want to watch it too, like I said, go to YouTube, find Phoenix Tonight, and you could watch this clip and many others from the past 7 months worth of shows. So please enjoy me as host of Phoenix Tonight talking to 97.5, 103.9's Robin Nash. This is Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. How did you start your career on the radio?
Oh, I started when I was in college. I went to ASU. And I was a 5-year senior, and so all my friends had graduated by then, and I was bored, and I was just looking for something to do, and I still had not chosen my career path yet, and my mom has suggested, she's like, isn't there a local radio station in town? Like, not local as far as FM dial goes, but ASU.
Sure.
Somewhere I can volunteer. So I was like, oh, Mom, that's a good idea.
Cool.
I just didn't want a desk job. I didn't want to do anything like that. So I went to the ASU radio station and got hired right away.
Wow.
Volunteered there. And then The Edge, if anyone knows The Edge.
The 101.5, The Edge? Was it 101.5?
No.
No? What was The Edge?
103.9. So it's the same frequency I'm on now, but it was 103.9, The Edge, for 15 years.
Oh, what was 101.5? So, the Zone.
A competitor.
I'm sorry. I've just gone over The Edge. Sorry.
So, and that's, so they were looking, so The Edge was looking for a female DJ. and they called the ASU radio station. And I had a very thick New York accent because I'm from New York originally. Oh, wow. So I was like talking, you know, very thick.
Wow.
Like that. And they gave me the job and said, you have to get rid of that New York accent immediately. So I had to work on it. So my accent's kind of a hybrid of New York, West Coast. Wow, Valley girl. I don't even know where it came from.
It's a general radio showmanship is really what you had to. I remember a lot of those old radio stations. It's bringing me back to Y95, KZZP, 104.7.
Yes.
I remember those stations very well. I think I first heard Ice Baby on Y95.
Mm. At a point, we played them too.
Was it Power 92?
Yeah.
92.3? Right?
Wow. Power 98. Is that what you said? 98.3?
92.3.
Oh, yes, and then they changed to 98.3. That's our sister station. Our owners own them as well. So.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, they're right next door.
93.3 was KDKB for the longest time.
Right, and then they switched.
And now they're...
Alternative. Oh. So a lot of my friends work over there now, so...
So how jarring is it when you're at a station and it changes its identity? So you, as an on-air personality, have developed a knowledge of a certain kind of music and artists and their background, so you could speak of them when you're to introduce their songs and stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's a completely new genre of music. Has that happened to you in your career?
That did happen.
Well, how do you adapt to
something?
We
went from alternative, my whole life was 15 years of alternative rock. I knew every alternative rock band, I've interviewed them all, and then all of a sudden they're like, you are now gonna play Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift. And I just, well, don't make fun, because I actually like them now. So, like, I went to their concerts and they were great. You get used to the music, but it was an identity crisis for probably a good 6 months because all my listeners were mad at me. They actually took it personally that I remained on a different format of music because they grew up with me.
Sure.
As I grew up with them as well, and it was such a lifestyle that when I stayed on, I would get harassment emails like, how dare you? You're a sellout. You're staying on. And I'm like, I am a DJ. I didn't make the music.
Right.
So if I'm good at what I do, I should be able to do any format.
Absolutely. So do you have a favorite genre of music, or have you found that working in radio, it's opened your mind?
It's open. I love everything. I even like country, which is weird because I didn't used to like country. So,
is there any format that you would completely object to, you would say?
You know, no. I can do anything now.
Talk? You've political talk?
Oh, no. Got me.
Gotcha, yes. In a true political talk fashion. I just stumped you. And now let's throw to a Cash for Gold commercial. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have any sponsors.
I'm like, really?
No, that would be like a talk radio throw. It would be like a Cash for Gold, or what's another regular sponsor of, like, Sean or Rush? Fortunately, nobody here knows. That's good. I know which way my audience skews. That's great. So you must have had, you've been to Bieber's concert?
Oh, yes.
Have you met young Justin ever, or?
No, so that's the difference between alternative rock and current. These bands, these guys are so big. Justin Bieber. Actually, I did meet Taylor Swift, though. Oh. She's the only one that actually wants to meet her fans. She's the only one. She was amazing.
Is that a Swiftie in the audience out there?
She is. But no, Bieber, no. He actually canceled all of his meet and greets because he felt that he was emotionally drained.
Oh, I remember that phase.
Meeting all these people. People would cry and go nuts over him that it was draining him, so he denied that from now on.
Who were you the most excited to meet in all of these experiences?
Well, all of my friends and radio friends know that Jared Leto was my favorite. And I kind of stalked him, and he has a restraining order against me. So he's watching. He knows.
He's not getting within 500
feet
of his computer when he sees this.
There's no restraining order. But I was asked once to remove myself from the radio station when he was coming in for an interview because he's like, Robin Nash cannot be in there.
Really?
I wasn't a stalker, but it went from a great interview that I had with him, and it was amazing, and from there, I was like, I had this weird, stupid fantasy that he was going to be my new boyfriend.
Hmm.
It was like such an illusion. It was ridiculous.
I had the same experience once with Mickey Dolenz. So.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed Suicide Squad then?
I loved it. I love Dallas Buyers Club as well. But people would text me. They're like, hey, your boyfriend's on in a new movie, or he just won an Oscar. And I'm like, I'm over Jared. You know, I had his email, so him and I would email a lot. And I think that's what happened. I started emailing him too much.
Really?
And he got... It was a radio thing.
Do you think he drew any inspiration from that for his performance as the Joker?
Probably. No, he just doesn't like me.
He introduced Margot Robbie and said, here's Harley Quinn. She will be kind of a psycho girlfriend. He was like, I'm familiar with the material.
Definitely. I know this one girl in Phoenix. Cool. So that was pretty funny story.
So, I want to ask you, because I do love radio, I love the radio format, and I've also enjoyed satellite radio in the past. What's your opinion as a terrestrial radio DJ of satellite radio?
That's a good question. I get very angry when my friends are listening to satellite radio.
Oh,
like,
really?
Terrestrial radio, it's because it's local. So if you're listening to satellite, not that it's a bad thing, but there's nothing local about listening to it. We're live on our radio station. Some radio stations are not. They're voice tracked. Mm-hmm. We're live. Every DJ is live. You can call us, request a song, win a prize, complain, be excited. I mean, I've made so many people happy because I'm local.
Sure.
You know, they're instantly winning trips to Disneyland and Napa Valley and San Diego. And, you know, they're calling. They're directly in tune with the DJ.
It really is like the voice of whatever respective city you're in is the local radio. I mean, it's kind of the heartbeat when it comes to traffic and news, but also the music and the personality of the DJs kind of define a city's voice. If you're out of town visiting a place, you tune into the top 40 station, and those...
You know where you are when you're listening to me and our entire radio station, because even if it's not about contesting, it's still... just current, like what's happening this Saturday. Just yesterday, or today, Saturday?
Today, yeah, it is Saturday. Yeah.
It's been so much today. Yesterday even, we were just talking about Restaurant Week. You wouldn't get that on satellite radio.
That's right.
Restaurant Week just started in the Valley, and so many people love that. So it's just local. Everything we talk about is geared towards, you know, the people in town.
Have you had any kooky callers lately?
Always.
Yeah? What's a super kooky call you've had?
Well, this one particular girl calls all the time. She's from Cortis Lakes. Do you guys know where Cortis Lakes is?
Yeah.
When you drive out and you pass the sign.
Is that?
Yeah. Okay. But it's like far out. But she calls almost daily to just tell me about the new DVD she bought. Or like, oh.
She says, oh, but you're not getting this call every day.
It's just, you know, I wouldn't say they're kooky or like rude or mean. They're just more like, they think you're their friend, I think, you know, because they hear you every day, so they associate with you. So she'll call and just tell me about her life. I seriously know her entire life. I know her husband. I know his name. I know where they live. I know what they eat for dinner, because she just calls to tell us what's going on. It's so... crazy. I feel like I know her.
Yeah, hopefully she'll comment on this YouTube video below if you want to leave.
She should, because she actually won a trip to Vegas for me. So
whoa!
I was like, out of all the people to be my winner, you deserve it.
I'd probably be calling you every day too after a while. If I was promised a trip to Vegas, you'd be like, what's going on today, Rob? You need lunch? You need to swing by with anything?
So the callers are great.
They're cool. Fun. What else? If you weren't in, so it sounds like you've been in radio pretty much your whole adult career.
Yeah, since college all the way till right now.
Wow. If it weren't radio, what would it be for you? What do you think would...
I know exactly. I just talked about that today with one of my friends. I would love to have been a vet surgeon.
For animals? A veterinarian?
A veterinarian surgeon.
Wow, okay, cool.
I actually wish I can remember things the way I did when I was younger so I can go to school and do it, but there's no way I would retain that information now.
Well, I'd imagine some of those alt bands from back in the day was similar to handling sick animals. There has to be some parallel between,
That was a good comparison, though, for sure.
Just trying to corral, you know, those crazy kids from some 41 or whatever.
That's good. Yeah, we play them, too.
Cool. So when can people hear you on the radio? And does it stream... So if folks are watching this YouTube video somewhere else in the country and they're like, she sounds like that would be a great show. How can
they
hear?
All over through our website, which is hot975 phoenix.com.
Okay.
You can download our app. It's a free download. So you just search Hot 975 and 1039, or on the dial, 97.5 and 1039. And I actually have a partner currently. Her name's Jen.
Okay.
So it's two girls. We wanted to call ourselves the Clam Jam, but our boss didn't think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
We wanted to have a whole intro, like, the Clam Jam. Is that too sexual? It's probably too sexual.
Oh, I just thought maybe like...
Oh, you didn't even get that
all
day?
Restaurant week, maybe at a culinary thing.
Like, the Clam Jam. So now, right now, it's just Robin and Jen, but we just started that about 6 months ago because nobody else in the Valley has two females. Headlining,
wow.
You know, an afternoon drive show. So we're on from
nationwide.
It's so fun. It's amazing because we talk about subjects that guys, I think, would want to listen to as well as girls. Like, we'll tackle, oh my gosh, we did the funniest thing yesterday. We were literally talking about how long is the right amount of time from start to finish for good sex.
Wow.
So we get away with stuff like that on the radio, and people are like, glued to the
sure.
radio. You know,
and
they just want to know the answer.
Did you nail down a time?
We did.
What are we talking about here? Give me an over-under.
It was 10 to 13 minutes.
10 to 13
so
minutes.
So set your alarm clock.
10 to 13
Set your alarm
minutes.
For that. Start.
Okay, it sounds like I need to develop a tight 9 minutes. Maybe
funny.
Mike can help me out with that later. I mean, just in concept, not in...
Oh, my gosh. You're funny. So, yeah, we can... So we're just really fun-oriented on the radio with two girls. So I think we please both women and men.
Sure.
So it's 3 to 7 p.m. Monday
and
through
Friday.
And
it's live. So, I mean...
Yeah.
Do you ever get the call to the office afterward? Like, you guys need to... That topic's off limits.
I think we're going to every time, but we never do.
Oh, really?
And our ratings are great. So I think it's working and...
Yeah.
You know.
What's the one thing... I mean, obviously, that's kind of tame. What's the one thing that was like... We're done.
I thought we were going to be done with that.
Really?
For sure.
I mean, that seems like a...
I think just saying the word sex on the radio, I think a lot of, sometimes parents with their kids after school, so actually we'll wait till after 5 for subjects like that.
Oh, okay.
And hopefully the kids are home by then.
Sure. So there's a little bit of a strategy.
So we think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
For
but
sure.
Can you think of the one, something that was a little too juicy that you were
that
like,
that was
lovely.
Pretty juicy. No, not off the top of my head. I wish I prepared for that question.
Oh,
no,
I'm
that
sorry.
Was good. Along those lines,
well,
I'm
know
sure.
how I feel about that 10 to 13 minutes. I wish I'd prepared for that. That extra 10.
So there you go.
Okay, cool. Well, once again, it's 97.5, 1039
yes.
here in the Valley, and then online it's hot 97.5.
Phoenix.com.
Phoenix.
Yes.
You are listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio, and that was Robin Nash from the last episode of Phoenix Tonight. If you'd like to see that clip in its entirety, search for Phoenix Tonight on YouTube, and there you'll find clips from the last episode and our last 7 months' worth of shows. If you want to see one of our episodes taped live at Space 55, October's episode will be Saturday the 8th at 10:30 p.m. Tickets are only $5. And my guests in October will include legendary local reporter Mike Watkiss from 3TV. Also, one of the proprietors of the Wasted Ink Zine Distro and one of the organizers of the upcoming Phoenix Zine Fest, Marna Kay, will be there to answer some questions about her projects. And finally, performing just in time for Halloween, PV Casualties, the Valley's The Misfits cover band, is going to perform. I'm really looking forward to that performance. That's all on Phoenix Tonight. Now, if you can't make the episode, if you're not in the area or you're unavailable, just follow us on Facebook, Phoenix Tonight, the Valley's live local late night talk show. And there I'll post upcoming guest announcements, upcoming taping dates, and clips from past shows. So thanks for doing that. I really appreciate it. I mentioned earlier that I performed at a comedy festival last week. It was the Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff. My friend The Clute, a nationally renowned slam poet, hosted a night of comedic poetry, and he asked me to join the lineup. I was happy to do so. To leave Phoenix on a late Friday afternoon, only to arrive in Flagstaff, do a tight 10-minute set of comedic poetry, and then return to Phoenix that same night, well, the disproportionate travel to performance time reminded me of the stories stand-ups tell about their early career, bouncing from club to club for 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, just to garner credibility and experience. It's one of the reasons I did it at all. Plus, to get out of town, if only for a few hours, is always tempting. Flagstaff was 30 degrees cooler than Phoenix that night. So when we left, it was 85 in Phoenix, which for us is kind of brisk. But to arrive to a 55-degree night in beautiful pine-topped Flagstaff, it was a delight. Of course, I had to have a hot meatloaf dinner at the Galaxy Diner, one of my favorite stops along Route 66. Afterward, we went to the Fire Creek Coffee House Coffee Company. My appreciation to them for hosting this event as a part of the Big Pine Comedy Festival. They have a beautiful back room with a very well-lit stage. You feel like a rock star performing up there. And it was a great night. All together. I recorded my set, like I said. So here are a few comedy poems from my set at the Big Pine Comedy Festival. You're listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio.
And welcome up, Russ Kazmierczak.
Yeah!
Does anybody here live in Flagstaff? Flagstaff residents here at all? I see a finger, a clap. Sounds like my prom night, the finger, the clap. But I wrote this one just for you two people then. It's called When Phoenix Comes to Flagstaff. When Phoenix comes to Flagstaff, we're immediately Mr. Rogers changing the sweaters, voices two octaves higher. Your summer is our winter. Your winter is our stage 3 hypothermia. When Phoenix comes to Flagstaff, perhaps for the first time in their lives, our hipsters wear beanies out of necessity. They learn that scarves are more than bike riding accessories. They have purpose. Neck beards can only warm so much neck. Your yard clippings are our souvenirs. We take selfies with pine cones. When Phoenix comes to Flagstaff, we shop at your Target like we've never shopped at Target before. A week's provisions for the hours will be here. What if we break down in front of Best Buy on our way to Twin Arrows Casino? How will we survive without those Market Pantry carbonated flavored waters? We're the ones at your Target wearing sandals, buying socks. Our mothers point to your university mascot and ask, "What is that, dear?" And our fathers reluctantly reply, "Flannel." When Phoenix comes to Flagstaff, we say we should come up here more often. It's only a few hours away. You tell us, Prescott's closer. Warnings to a woman that wants to date a geek. Your first date may include camping in front of a movie theater, or a video game store, or a toy store, or a convention hall, or Stan Lee's house. Ironically, he otherwise really hates camping. He may try to kiss you upside down in the rain. Go with it. The first time you make love, he may shout one of the following phrases. Shazam. Excelsior. So this is what it feels like. He'll appreciate your dressing provocatively. Remember, he likes graphic tees. He owns more spandex than you. If you're planning something drastic, like a haircut, please keep him in the loop. Continuity is important. If you marry him, your cake will have Han Solo, Princess Leia toppers. His best friend will toast you in Klingon. By then, you will understand him. If you have a child together, he can play play with your child's toys, but your child cannot play with his toys. In the unlikely event that he is the last man on earth, he will leave you for Eliza Dushku. Thank you.
You are listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio, and this is my weekly football food haul, a segment dedicated to the food I ate while my girlfriend watched her beloved Dallas Cowboys play. That's right, every game day this football season, my girlfriend and I go to a local bar, restaurant, or pub, and while she watches the football fumble, my tummy starts to grumble. So I order some food, I eat it, and then I talk to you about it right here on Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. And this past week, we went to George and Dragon, Phoenix's legendary downtown British pub. It's located on Central Avenue between Indian School and Camelback. Now, I'm not sure if that's considered downtown, midtown, or uptown. I'm not sure where the lines of demarcation are. I do know that we're talking about an area of town that really just spans a few miles, and yet somehow we've decided to draw lines between a few of those miles to create a downtown, a midtown, and an uptown. I'm just going to guess it's midtown. But it's a great location. I've been there quite a few times before, most notably when I ended a karaoke crawl a few years ago honoring the then recently departed Davy Jones of the Monkees. I sang Daydream Believer at five different karaoke venues in one night. And we ended the adventure at George and Dragon, appropriately a British pub because Davy was English. So I have some personal history with the place. I was excited to go there to watch a game. My girlfriend and I had actually been there last season to watch a game or two as well because the owner of the place is a professed Dallas Cowboys fan, so much so that a Cowboys flag is waving outside of the pub alongside English and American flags. So the place boasts solidarity with fellow Cowboys fans. It's an appropriate place to go and not far from home for us at all. We also recently saw George and Dragon on an episode of Bar Rescue. If you're not familiar, Bar Rescue is one of Spike TV's highest rated TV shows, hosted by entertainment venue expert John Taffer. I think he has a few titles, but that is a general a moniker for what he does best, which is he renovates nighttime entertainment venues like bars and clubs so that they could achieve the maximum amount of success. And recently, George and Dragon was on the brink of closure thanks to overwhelming debt and some bad business practices and health issues on either side of the bar. So John Taffer came to Phoenix. George and Dragon was featured on one of his episodes of Bar Rescue. And I'm proud to say that I've been there both before and after that renovation. And I've enjoyed my experience both times. But now, knowing that there's been a change, it's extremely interesting to sit there as a patron and enjoy the place. So we arrived at George and Dragon pretty early because, frankly, we were hungry. It was an evening game. The Cowboys played at 5:30 Arizona time. And we wanted to make sure we got a good seat with a good view of George and Dragon's big screen. And we wanted to make sure we had plenty of time to enjoy dinner before the game. So when we arrived, the bar was delightfully only half full, despite it being the heart of a football Sunday. By then, the Cardinals had already lost. So a lot of people had gone home to sulk. And the afternoon games, frankly, weren't that exciting enough for fans to come watch. So we found a great high top with a good view of the TV. Took a few minutes for a waitress to come over, but when she did, we ordered a couple of beers. A friend of ours works at the bar. He came over to say hello, and when we asked where the owner was, because it was a Dallas Cowboys game day, he's usually buzzing about the bar on a day like that, our friend said that he was at the game. The owner was in Houston at AT&T Stadium watching the game live. So that just goes to show how big a Dallas Cowboys headquarters George and Dragon could be in Phoenix. It's waving a flag outside of the place. The owner is at a game in Houston, if he gets the chance, and the place is still playing the game on a big screen, even in his absence. So if there are any Dallas Cowboys fans in Phoenix listening to this podcast, if you didn't know, you have a home at the British pub a Georgian dragon. So we quickly ordered our dinners because, like I said, we were hungry. And I wanted something authentic to the place. So I focused on their Sunday dinner specials, specifically the roasted New Zealand lamb. Now, I don't know why the lamb was distinguished as or being from New Zealand. I'm not sure if there's a special preparation that is indicative of New Zealand culture. I'm not sure if lamb is being raised by the herds and then slaughtered for my culinary delight here in Arizona over in New Zealand. But it seemed unique enough to order. And then the waitress upsold me on a Yorkshire pudding as well, which she sold me as a puff pastry side component to the dinner. And I wasn't necessarily interested in having a lot of carbs, but it sounded interesting enough to complete my presumed international cuisine experience there at Georgian Dragon, so I ordered it. My girlfriend ordered a cheeseburger, which seemed relatively humdrum at the time, but when it arrived, the disc of cheese that was oozing out of this burger literally covered the complete surface area of her plate, so much so that it acted as a canopy for her steak fries underneath. These steak fries would not get a sunburn if they were outside. The cheese was that thick and completely comprehensive when it comes to the coverage of the plate the burger and fries are served on. It creates an interesting dynamic because at that point, my girlfriend basically ripped this disc of cheese off of the burger, ripped it up into smaller pieces, and then layered it on top of her patty, so she still had an easily handheld hamburger. The cheese at that point, of course, is no longer melted. It's basically fried, which is still tasty, but if you're not expecting it, a little visually jarring, not to mention just as shocking to the palate. So that was her burger. My lamb arrived at the same time. It came with a side of both mashed potatoes and country fried potatoes. The Yorkshire pudding was practically a volcano of pastry. It looked like a Hiroshima cloud of bread hovering over my plate. So much so that I literally didn't know where to begin. And since the food was foreign to me, I wasn't sure if there was something inside. No, it was just a hollow puff of pastry. I'm not sure why it's called pudding. I guess that shows the cultural differences between British cuisine and ours. So I just basically stabbed it with a fork, watched it deflate, and then proceeded from there. Truly, the American way. Now, as far as the taste of the pudding goes, I have to confess that it was burnt. Every time I took a bite of that puffed pastry, my tongue was assaulted with a smoky, burnt taste, a fire that was put out by the brown gravy smothering my lamb and mashed and country fried potatoes. Now, that's why I ordered this dinner in large part, was because I was in the mood for brown gravy. You know, every now and then you get that hankering for a little hearty brown gravy. And it was there, dousing not only my main entree, but that smoky, burnt taste of the puffed pastry. The potatoes stole the show on this plate, and fortunately they came in a generous portion, both, as I say, mashed and country fried. The lamb was a little tangy. Now, I'm not sure if that's characteristic of lamb or New Zealand, but it was thinly sliced, interesting to eat, and overall the plate was satisfying, but I'm not sure if that's because I was hungry or intrigued by its international nature. Perhaps a second attempt at a Georgian Dragon dinner platter is in order to come up with a final conclusion on the matter. My girlfriend finished her cheeseburger and fries as well, and come halftime, we were hungry again. We hadn't eaten on our restful Sunday, so that dinner was our first meal of the day. When the second half of the game started, we decided to order a couple of appetizers, more indicative of a Sunday football dining experience. We ordered some wings and fried zucchini. Now, the wings were mine, and I have to say again that I think they spent maybe a hair's width of time a little too long in the fryer, because there was a bit, I don't want to say burnt, but a bit of a smoky taste that threatened to overwhelm the wings' buffalo flavor that I so love. I still ate 4 out of the 8 and took the other 4 home, which I happily finished on Monday night as leftovers. So not a lost cause. They were good. My girlfriend's fried zucchini, however, left a little to be desired for her. She is a fried zucchini connoisseur. And I think her big problem with the dish was that the zucchini slid out of its breading very easily when you ate it. Like a sword sliding out of a sheath, these sticks of zucchini came right out of that fried blanket that they're wrapped in. Too easily. You know, you want the combination of crisp fried breading and zucchini when you take a bite into a piece of fried zucchini. And she just wasn't getting it. So I ended up taking a few of those home and eating them as leftovers as well. Then their soggy nature was justified. But upon initial service, you would have expected a bit more freshness. Now, my girlfriend was quick to point out something about fried zucchini that I had never considered before. When they come in stick or finger form, it's likely to assume that they are pre-prepared, perhaps even pre-packaged and frozen, because then you simply remove these sticks and you drop them into the fryer. If you receive your fried zucchini as slices or small discs, it seems more likely to assume that the chef has just sliced a zucchini, you see, and then dropped those slices into the fryer. Now, I guess the same presumption of pre-preparation exists there as well. But when you slice a zucchini, it's quick, it's easy to do, as opposed to preparing those longer sticks or kind of finger food-shaped morsels. So when you receive the discs, usually they're more crispy. There's a bit more of a freshness to them. It's likely to assume that they've been prepared just for you. So that's definitely something I'm going to be looking out for in future fried zucchini consumption. Now, it may sound like, based on this review, that I wouldn't recommend Georgian Dragon as a place to go eat. That's not necessarily true. Georgian Dragon has a great environment. It's in a prime central location in Phoenix, and it's a cool place to go watch a football game. I would just say, as you're entering Georgian Dragon, know that you are going into a bar, and you're going to get bar food. If you're looking for lunch or dinner, go to a restaurant. But if you want a cold beer, and you want to order an appetizer before watching a football game on a Sunday, or before some karaoke on a Monday night, Georgian Dragon is a great place to be. That's what it does best, is it fosters community. It gives you a good sense of camaraderie as you're there to do what you're there to do. It also gives you an interesting perspective on our motherland, jolly old England. And that's my review of the Georgian Dragon for this week's Football Food Hall. You are listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. You can find more information about Amazing Arizona Comics at AmazingArizonaComics.com. And you can find all of my upcoming projects plugged and teased at AmazingAZComics on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for checking out the website. Thanks for following me on social media. And thanks for listening to the podcast. I'll catch you next time. This was Amazing Arizona Comics Radio.